Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayers. We open up our service. We want to welcome everybody that's tuning in online to First Pentecostal in Villarica. Whether you're watching us live or at a later date, you're more than welcome. We like to worship the Lord, and that's what we want to do and be taught by His Word. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take prayer requests this evening. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Righty. Sounds good. Anyone on the left side? Right.
I have an unspoken special prayer request. Sister Ashley's mother has COVID. They want her to be remembered as well. My son and his family have COVID.
Praise God. How about let's give the Lord some praise too? Anybody got just want to just lift it up, just thank the Lord for His many blessings? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. Lord, we thank You for this day. Dear Lord, we thank You for the opportunity that You've given us to come together in Your house and in Your mighty name. Dear Lord, we just praise You. Lord, for all the answered prayers, dear Lord, for always providing for us, dear Lord, for loving us even when. And dear Lord, and You know the how great we need You, dear Lord, Your mercy and Your grace and Your love. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive Your Word, ready to worship and praise You this evening. Lord, I thank You for those in attendance, and dear Lord, we just want to, and all those watching online, but Lord, we want to pray for those that are sick and shut in that need a need. You've heard the names of the spoken prayer request, those that are having heart tests tomorrow, heart procedures, or those just the ones that are waiting on answers on their medical reports, Lord, we just ask You to touch each and every one. Lord, those that are sick and shut in, traveling, Lord, those that aren't able to be with us this evening for whatever reason, Lord, we want to lift them up to You in prayer. Lord, again, as we've been praying this last week, we pray for our children, for the teachers, all the faculty and staff, bus drivers, Lord, all involved in those going back to school. Lord, I know the college kids are reporting this next week or so. Lord, we pray for each and every one as they go out and start the next chapter of their life. May they just continue to follow You, dear Lord, and Your Word. Lord, may You just strengthen and guide us. Lord, we ask You to bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them. Lord, each and every ministry that comes from this congregation, dear Lord, we ask that You'll bless. But most of all, dear Lord, we just want to praise You. We want to thank You. Lord, we just want to worship You. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. When you get a chance, turn to page 276, Prayer Bells in Heaven. I love it when the choir's behind us. We get them to crank it up and sing with us tonight. Prayer Bells in Heaven.
Yeah.
seated if you can. I want to go ahead and take up the evening offering. We want to take it up and just thank for all the many blessings that God's given us. We'll just continue that, then we'll turn it over to the choir. I know they were here practicing when we came in. I'm looking forward to hearing them. Couldn't hear them during that song, so hopefully we can. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
How far you've come. Every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I in a house that was once a home, says my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days ain't that long. She hears a voice so still and low, it said, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? Spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again.
Weakness blurs my visions. That's when my frustrations get so out of hand. Oh, it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand on test alone. I look at all my victories. The Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, yeah, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again. Again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help will always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. My Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Amen.
song was on my heart this morning. We can't always see what's ahead. But we sure need Jesus to see it for us. D. Sometimes it takes a mountain. I face a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while. Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. Oh, but this I must admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, I'm not ashamed to say. Oh, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger. Troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Lord, I believe.
Earlier today about and was listening after the message. You know, David, David wrote a great old big long book of Psalms, okay? And if you don't think he didn't say, "It's me again, Lord," you got another thought coming. And then as we were talking, she said, I can't remember exactly how she phrased it, but it's like, do you think some people can ask too much of God? And I said, no, you can't really ask too much of him if you were to go to the altar every single day. So we thought for a minute, as we was talking, and I said, you got to realize some people don't go to the altar at the house. So the only time they go to the altar is here at church. So if you go to the altar every time the door is open at church, there's nothing wrong with that. Do you know what I'm saying? Just pouring your heart out to God. Well, this is the way I feel right here. It's me again, Lord. Troubles come and I can find an answer. Lonely nights I spend in agony. I have no other friend that I can turn to. So here I am, laid down upon my knees. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I've got a problem I can't solve. I don't need to worry you. Here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. Busy in your heaven, building walls and hanging stars to shine. But you promised if I asked, I would receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord.
I've got a problem I can solve. I don't need to worry you. Here I am facing something new. And I need hope that only comes from you. And I need hope that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.
Amen to that. How many can relate to that? It's me again, Lord. The help that I need only comes from you. So good to have Brother Chris with us tonight. He's going to be speaking for us. Brother Chris, come take your liberty in the Lord. Lord bless him real, real good.
Amen. Many times I've said, it's me again, Lord. You know, he knows our voice when we call. It amazes me how when you become a dad, and my wife's the same way, when your children call your name, you know their voice. You can hear because that's your flesh and blood. I'm thankful that I'm God's flesh and blood. Amen. I'm thankful that I was bought with a price. I'm thankful that he loves me and cares for me. Amen. I want to go, this is a sermon that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago. It was a little after 4 o'clock in the morning. I can remember exactly where I was traveling on the road when God gave it to me. And I've had this phrase that I've really said to God over the past, I guess, couple of months. God, you're talking, I'm listening. You're talking, I'm listening. I don't want to miss what you have to say. I can remember my dad and our back porch meetings we would have after he was quote-unquote retired. And, you know, I would listen. As I got older, I would listen more to what he had to say about things, about issues, about circumstances, and how to fix them. And, you know, when I was younger, maybe I wasn't so tentative. Maybe I wanted to talk more than I wanted to listen. As Christians, we get that way. And there's certain times where we need to listen to God. Amen. And if you'll just take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter number 28. I'm going to start in verse number 10, read a few passages of Scripture, and hold your place at 28, and we're going to go to another passage of Scripture, very familiar, Psalm 23. We're only going to read 28, 1 and 2, I mean 10 and 11. Genesis 28, verse number 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Brother Eddie, if you'll pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity.
Before we go any further in the reading, I just want to give a little bit of background of kind of what's going on here in Genesis chapter number 28. Jacob, whose name means deceiver, remember that. If you're writing notes, write that down. His name means deceiver. Had just stole his birthright from his brother Esau. It was Esau's birthright. It was Esau's right. He was the oldest child. It was Esau's claim. It belonged to Esau. But Jacob, in following what his mother told him to do, he deceived his father, and he got the blessing. So, as you can imagine, two brothers are, hey, I'm going to get you. If you don't have brothers or sons, you don't know what that's all about. I'm going to get you. I'm going to make you pay for that. So the Bible said what Jacob did is he ran from Beersheba. He didn't walk briskly. He didn't move fastly. He ran from Beersheba. Now, I don't know about you, but it's not going to take very many steps of me running to be wore out. And after I get tired, I'm going to begin to get weary. The message title tonight is Tired and Weary. So Jacob is running from his brother. I find it interesting that he's going, the Bible says, to a place called Haran. Haran, I looked it up, is a peaceful place. It's by the waters. It's a place where people would want to go to relax, take everything easy. So Jacob, brother, he was running. He was going to a place. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? He was going somewhere. He was heading somewhere. He gets tired. He gets weary. There's a difference I've found in my age of getting more towards getting tired. There used to be a time where I could just get tired and go to sleep. But now I get tired, Brother Eddie, go to sleep, wake up, and I'm tired again. You know, I'm like, man, I feel tired again, you know. And you wake up and you're, man, I'm tired. But there becomes a point, Sister Valerie, in your Christian walk when you pass tired and you become a little bit weary. And when you get weary, you look around and you think, is there any help? Is there any help for me? I'm tired and I'm weary. There's a song, this is a piece in the valley that Brother Jim sings, that I'm tired and I'm weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. In my travels, and you know me, I ask people, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? It used to be the response I would get was, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right. You know what I'm hearing now more and more? I'm tired. I'm tired. And I'm not just physically tired. I'm emotionally tired. I'm spiritually tired. Because you see, when the boxer, when they go into the ring, they're not just going into the ring unprepared and going to box. They have to mentally prepare for what their opponent is going to do. They have to physically prepare for what their opponent is going to do. And it takes months and months and months. They study film and they look at this and they look at that. And after 12 rounds with their opponent, they're tired. You can look on their face and they don't look like that they started off. Now they look, I'm tired. I'm just ready for it. As I look on the face of a lot of Christians, I can tell you they're tired. They're getting weary. But I want to let you know something. Jacob, he was tired. He was getting weary. He stopped in verse number 12 after he let the rocks down. I've slept in some uncomfortable places. Hospitals are the most uncomfortable place you can sleep. I'm telling you, I have rolled up in a ball in some small places. And felt it the next morning. But the Bible says in verse number 12, and he dreamed a dream. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. If you need to read that again, you go right ahead. That lights my fire. That's some good stuff right there. You don't understand the situation that Jacob was in. He's tired. He's tired from running. I got nowhere to go. He's weary. I got no place. There's nobody to help me. You don't understand. I don't have an inheritance. I don't have things that people are going to take care of me for the rest of my life. I don't even know which way I'm going to go. But God promised me that He was going to bless me. God promised me He was going to take care of me. And so I find it very
interesting. When he's tired and he stops, he makes his rock, hello, that was the very place that God talked to him. Isn't it interesting sometimes, we just sang that song, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes it does take a mountain. For Jacob, it took running. There's no telling how many days he ran. He ran and he ran and he ran and he got tired. I've been there. I've been tired. I've been weary. But it gets better than that, I'm telling you. It gets better. Are y'all awake? Y'all with me? Y'all need some coffee? Amen. It's been a good day, amen? But I'm telling you, we get tired and we get weary. Every day starts to look the same. Everything starts to look the same. We get in such a habit, it just goes over and over and over again. We wake up, we have the same routine. We go through the days, we have the same routine. We can set our watch by what we do during the day. Can we not? We are creatures of habit. Yes, we are. That's what we are. But sometimes when we get tired, we get wore down, we get weary. I told somebody this week, I said, you know, matter of fact, it was a doctor. He was talking to me. He said, where is your peace? You know, you have a high-stress job and everything's fast-paced. Where is your resting place? I said, well, you know, I like going to church, and that's a good resting place. I said, but, you know, I really like going fishing. He said, you need to go fishing. He said, you need to just throw your phone in the garbage and go fishing for a few days, you know. That sounds like a good idea. But, but you know, we need to have that spiritual resting place in the Lord. The place where we sit down. You see, Jacob, when he rested, when he was after he got tired and became weary, it's amazing how when you get weary, you tend to release things. You tend to let go of things and say, you know what? What I thought was important no longer takes the energy that I have to expend upon that, so I'm going to set it down at the altar. Come on, somebody. Amen or oh me. Isn't that the truth? Sometimes we hold on to it so tight that we think, you know what? I've held on to it, but it's something I should be letting go of. So God, I give it to you. So he lays down and he sees this vision. And it's of the angels coming from heaven and down. And when he looks up, he sees God. And God's looking down upon him and he's saying, I am the Lord. Put up, if you will, Greg, the amplified version of 28 and 15 that I had keyed in there. This is the amplified. And behold, I am with you and will keep you, watch over you with care. Take notice of, hold on, I had to stop right there. I said, hold on, God. You mean with everybody else that's in this world, Brother Keith, God stops and takes notice of me. That means something to me. That means something that God stopped everything he was doing and said, I'm going to take notice of what you're going through. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. But if you'll just march on, if you just go a little bit further, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you a supernatural strength that's not going to come from you. We're on this road home. And we're going to make it home eventually. Don't stop now. Don't get tired and weary and give up now. You can stop and take a rest. That's fine. But when Jacob got up right now, I know he was saying, glory be to God. I'm ready to go a little bit further. I'm ready to march on a little bit further. Amen. You wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this land. Woo! For I will not, somebody say, I will not. I will not leave you until I have done all that which I have told you. Not part. In other words, God's saying, hey, I want to let you know something. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. There's been times we've been in the hospital with Tabitha, and I've looked over at her, and the doctors have given bad reports, and I can tell you stories and stories and stories and stories of miracles that have happened. But I look over at her, and she look over at me and say, I'm not going nowhere, and you're not going nowhere, because God brought us together, and we're going together. I told her when we got married, I said, we're going together in the rapture. That's just how it's going to be. But you know what? God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be right there with you. In the middle of the night when I can't sleep, And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to testify a little bit. There was a few nights ago. Now, you know, I'm the type of person, whenever I lay my head to the pillow, I'm out. That's it. I'm gone. There was a night, a few nights ago, that I couldn't. It's just every hour I was waking up. Every hour. And Brother Keith, when I was waking up, my heart was going brrr, like I'd been running a marathon. I was waking up, waking up, waking up. And I said, you know what? I know what this is. This is that fear and this is that anxiety that's trying to latch hold of me. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. And I'm going to go back to sleep and everything's going to be all right. See, the devil don't understand this patty cake stuff we try to do with him. Oh, devil, now it'll be okay. I'm just going to take this medication and I'll be all right. Come on, somebody. I'm stepping on somebody's toes. I'm going to take this medication and everything's going to be all right. And I'll just pacify you a little bit, devil, so I can get some sleep. No, you need to take authority over that rascal. You need to stand up and you say, you know what, in the name of Jesus, you can't do this no more. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to do this no more. In the name of Jesus, I'm going through, amen.
Amen.
That next night, I'm telling you what, all I remember is going in there. I don't even remember turning the bedroom light. I was like, wow, I was gone, you know, because that's what God does for us. He comes on the scene when we need Him. He comes on the scene when we're hurting. He comes on the scene when we look around and we're tired and we're weary. And we're saying, God, where are you at? God, I need your help right now. God, I need your touch right now. The doctors don't know what to do. And we always kid around and say, it's called practicing medicine for a reason. Yes, it is. That's what they do. They practice medicine. You know, we need to do this and check this out and check that out. But the Maker that made my body, that's who I'm going to for my healing. I want to talk to the manufacturer, hallelujah. Sometimes when you have a problem, we have these Kenworth trucks at work. And I have a mechanic, and they come, this fleet of mechanics, they come, and they do a great job. But there's sometimes that something goes wrong with the truck, and I have to call the Maker. I have to call the manufacturer. And I have to say, hey, you need to send somebody out here that knows how this thing was built. And they're not out there generally 10 or 15 minutes. It gets me every time. It's fixed. You know why? Because they made the truck. They know what's going on. So when I talk to God and I say, God, there's something going on. I don't have to name it by name. God, there's something going on in my body. Whatever it is, I know you're my healer. And God's going to say, you know what? Done, healed. Healed. That's it. That's all it takes. Amen? That's what He does. Back to the King James, verse number 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now, I've done studies on this. The Lord didn't just visit by. The Lord didn't just come by for a visitation. He came by for a habitation. Come on, somebody. That means He stopped, and that's where He's habiting, inhabiting that. Amen. The Bible says that the praises of the people, that God inhabits that praise. God gets right up in the middle of that and He inhabits. You wonder why whenever you're going through a trial, you have a song on your heart and you start praising the Lord and everything gets better, because God gets up in the middle of that thing and He works all things together. I told Heather this the other day. I said, honey, God can take the bad in our life and He can take the good in our life, and somehow He mixes that thing all together and He works it all together for our good, to our the called according to His purpose. And I told her, I said, we got a purpose and we're called. I know it. So He's going to take all that bad stuff and all that good stuff, even the stuff that's old and in cobwebs that was bad, He's going to take it and He's going to push it together and it's going to be good. She made these cookies, and Brother Terry, get on me if you know. She made these cookies the other night. She gets in the kitchen. What are you doing, honey? Making some cookies. I saw a recipe. It's only 3 ingredients. Hallelujah. Thank God. I get out of the shower, I was like, man, something smells good. She said, I didn't even started making them yet. So, well, maybe just my imagination. She took these 3 ingredients, mixed them together, put them in the oven, pulled them out. Things were the best. I'm surprised they're still at my house. But I got to thinking about that. If she would have just put the Cool Whip in there, put it in the oven, that wouldn't have worked. If she would have just took the mix in there and put it in the oven, that wouldn't have, you know, what are you doing, honey? If she'd have just took the egg and put it in there, we'd have been eating scrambled eggs. But she mixed it all together. Oh, hallelujah. She mixed it all together real good. And she put it in that oven. Sometimes we say, God, why we got to be in this oven? Because God's cooking on us. God's trying to make something out of us. And if we'll realize that God's really in control of everything on our day-to-day basis, and we'll really put our trust in His name and in His hands like we say we do on Sunday, then we'll understand that He's doing a work on us. And when He pulls us out of the oven, I like what one man said. I want God to look at me when He pulls me out of that oven and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want Him to say to me. "Well done, good and faithful servant. It's been a hard road, but God's been there with you. Never was God without you. God was always with you." We were talking about a little bit this morning in Sunday school about going out to the beach. And I can remember my brothers and sisters were younger, so we'd walk out, they'd be with me, and we'd go to the sandbar. Now, you'd have to know where the sandbar was because everything looks just like that. So when you get out there, it gets deep, about neck deep, and all of a sudden, you're in about that much water. And me and my brothers and sisters, we could look out, and at times, you could see the black-tip sharks out there, about probably 100 yards. But we knew that that shark can't get to us because we're on shallow water. We're shallow enough water, it's not going to get to us. But there was still a fear there to know. It's kind of uneasy to know there's a shark a few hundred yards from us right there. You know, and you think about the Jaws movies and all this stuff, you know. But then there was times when we get out there on that sandbar or the Keith, and we see dolphins out there. And when you see dolphins out there, if you know anything about dolphins and sharks, dolphins will run off sharks. That's what they do. That's what they're designed. Believe it or not, but dolphins will run off sharks. So you see dolphins out there playing and have a good time. You're standing on the sandbar, there's a peace. Because I know that everything is going to be all right. Come on, somebody. Because I know that God's got my best interest in his mind. And because He just said right there in Genesis 28 and 15 that He stopped and took notice of me. When I was tired and I was weary, He stopped and took notice of me. He stopped and said, "You know what? I know you're going through some things. I know you're struggling, but I know you're trying." But, you know, sometimes we come to God and we say, "But God, I'm so faithful to you." God's saying, "I know. I know. I'm doing something. I'm doing something." But when the end work comes out and you see it, you're not going to believe what it's going to be like. You're not going to believe. I was picking at Brother Keith back there. I said, you know, he was talking about this, that, and the other. And I said, "Well, one thing I know is probably a bigger crown in a jewel in my crown." He said, "I hope it's a big one." You know? But, you know, the things we go through, we think about, man, is God really there? I want you to see what God showed me. Psalms 23, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David said that. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When I was playing football, my coach, my head coach, his name was Bruce Dubois. Never forget it. He had a way of pushing me. He could push me to my limits to get the best out of me. You know, he would push and push and push and push and push till I thought I couldn't give any more, and he would push some more. He'd always tell me it builds character. You got good character. You know? To this day, you got good character. Character. Integrity. Character. Yeah. But I'll never forget me. I've always been a fairly big person. And he had always been a fairly big person. Me, and I was probably 18 years old at the time. He was probably mid-30s. I caught the football on the 10-yard line. I just did a little down and out. Caught it on the 10-yard line. And all I saw was open field. Glory to God, I'm going to have me a touchdown. But I could hear, "That ain't good." And I looked back, and there he was. I mean, there he was. I'm like, "Woo!" And I'm running for my life. Everything within me, I promise you, Sister Brenda, I was running with everything I had. And I was just, "God, please don't let him get me. God, please," the whole way. I'm just, you know, I'm running. So, I've never run that fast in my entire life. And after I crossed the 50-yard line, I didn't let up. "He's still coming. He's still coming. He's still coming." And he was, too. I crossed the goal line. I dropped the ball. We both. He looked over at me and he said, "I knew you could do it." I said, "I'm about to die. I'm about to die." But I remembered that because God was showing me that goodness and mercy. See, a lot of times we think that goodness and mercy just follows us around. The definition, the Hebrew words used right here for goodness and mercy, is God's trying to use that goodness and mercy to overtake and pursue after you. In other words, goodness and mercy are following me, but Brother Jim, they're pushing me into the right direction that I need to go to. They're biting at my ankles every day and saying, you can do better, you can go faster, you can go faster, you can go faster. Deeper in God, deeper in God, deeper in God. Goodness and mercy is not made for us just to sit around and say, bless God, goodness and mercy is behind me. No, goodness and mercy is chasing after me. It's trying to overtake me. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody get a hold of that. That goodness and mercy, even when I'm tired and I'm weary, what makes me get up the next day? It's God's goodness and God's mercy. It's His unmerited favor that makes me get up and say, today is going to be a good day in the name of Jesus. Right. No matter what my body's trying to tell me, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. God's going to see me through it because goodness and mercy are following me. D.L. Moody tells a story. This lady came to see him. He said, Mr. Moody, I have a problem. He said, well, what's the problem? He said, everywhere I go, there's two men that follow me around. When I get on the subway, they get on there behind me. When I go to my work, they walk in the door behind me. When I go home, they're right there with me. Mr. Moody looked and he said, if I can be very frank with you, you know what that is? She said, what is it? He said, that's goodness and mercy. They're just trying to push you along a little further. They're trying to push you along a little further. We use the word in our human vocabulary, that's a coincidence. Isn't that a great coincidence? I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine will and divine order of God. I was in a certain place in a certain time because God wanted me to be there. And furthermore, I was in a certain place in a certain time at a certain time running late because God did not want me to be there. I can't tell you how many accidents I missed out on by minutes running late and thinking, man, I wish this stoplight would change. And God's saying, but you don't understand. Goodness and mercy is still following you. No matter what it looks like, goodness and mercy is still following you. And what David say, after everything that I went through, after all the heartache and after all the troubles, after all the trials, goodness and mercy is following me. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That isn't just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night thing. That's a forever. That's a 7 days a week. That's a 24 hours a day. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but looking around at this world, the time we need to dwell in the house of the Lord is now. The time we need to put our feet down and get firmly planted is now. We see things here and here and here and here. We hear about, what is it, wars and rumors of wars and all this and all that. Hear about all that stuff. People come into my office and they're telling me everything they saw on the news. You know, I don't watch it. Did you hear about? No, I didn't. You know, unless y'all tell me, I don't hear nothing about it. I don't watch the news. It depresses me. I don't want to watch the news. I want to watch Jesus because He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He is where I want to put my faith and my trust. Amen. But goodness and mercy was following after Jacob. And so much that we see that Jacob, we can fast forward a few chapters in Genesis chapter number 35 to 38. And we see where Jacob wants to go reunite with Esau. Jacob's at the Ford Jabbok. We all know the story. Just go in there real shortly. He's at the Ford Jabbok. And he's at one of those places where, God, I need to hear your voice. You ever been in one of those places, God, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I got to hear your voice. He sits down. He looks over. And there's an angel. He said, you're going to bless me. It wasn't one of those things, Sister Valerie, where he says, would you please bless me? No, you're going to bless me. That's all there is to it. You're going to bless me. You ever been like that? No, Lord, that's mine. That belongs to me. I told you about my dog and her little squeaky ball. That's mine. It belongs to me. You're not going to take it from me, Satan. And he looked over there and he said, I'm going to wrestle with you if it takes all night long. They wrestled and they wrestled and they wrestled and they wrestled. And the angel of the Lord, a lot of people think it was God, looked over and said, Let me go. It's almost daylight. And he said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And he said, no longer will your name be called Jacob. Oh, come on, somebody. Your name's going to be called Israel. Woo! Hallelujah. Not only that, Sister Valley, God touched him right in the hollow of his thigh. Gave him a little limp. He walked a little bit differently. Everybody looked at him and said, I can tell that's Jacob by the way he walked, but he ain't Jacob no more because his name's Israel now. I don't know him by the name I used to know him by. I know him by the name he is called now. Amen. The devil knows us by our sin. God knows us by the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But goodness and mercy are following after us. You get tired. You get weary. You say, God, I just don't think I can go on. I want you to think about mercy and goodness. I saw an interview with the lady that sings the Goodness of God song. CC Winans. She was talking about, she said, if we ever fully understand the goodness of God in our life, it will change the way we think about things. And I thought, you know, God is good to us whether we're having a good day or whether we're having a bad day. God is still good to us. Amen. Whether I feel like God's been good to me or not is irrelevant because God's still good to me. Amen. God is still good to me. He is still merciful to me. He still watches over to me. As much as I want to get myself in the mully grubs and I want to say, but God, you don't understand. The other day I was going down the road and I'm having my own personal pity party with balloons and everything. I mean, I was going all out. You know, God, you don't understand this. You know, I'm you know, hey. You see me at a red light, and I'm crying, just mind doing business, just keep on going, you know. It's me and God having a meeting. That's all that's all about. So, you know, God, you don't understand this business. God's saying, goodness and mercy are still following after you. And I thought about some lines off of that song. All my life, he has been faithful. All my life, he has been so, so good. And I go back, Brother Eddie, to May 10th of 2021. People ask me, was you scared when you went in for the kidney surgery? No, I wasn't. Because I knew that everything was going to be all right. Because I had a feeling deep down in my soul that everything was going to be all right. I knew that God had it in control because I knew that goodness and mercy, Sister Jennifer, were still following after me. Even though I was in a place to where I couldn't feel that goodness and mercy was right there, goodness and mercy was camped. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needs to get this in their spirit. They were camped right beside me, one on the left and one on the right. And they're saying, you know what? We're not going to leave you. They wheeled me into the operating table. Mind you, I've never had an operation before. You know, there's a lot of people in the operating room. And they put your arms in these, you know, and that feels pretty uncomfortable. You're not going to know anything in about 3, 2, see ya. You know, I didn't know nothing. But God was right there. Goodness and mercy never left me. You see, I'll take tired and weary, and I'll trade them in for goodness and mercy. I'm going to trade them in for goodness and mercy. I've been tired. I am tired. I've been weary. I am weary. But something about when goodness and mercy motivates me, it's just like my football coach. We're going faster, and we're going faster, and we're going faster. Only this time, the goal line is not the end zone. This time, the goal line, Brother Keith, is my heavenly home. And we're going foul. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get that in their spirit. Stop looking around and thinking about what's the worst thing that can happen. Stop looking around and thinking, well, I never thought I'd be in this boat before. I never thought I'd be here before. But start looking at what God's trying to do. Start looking and saying, you know what? Just a little while longer, and I'm going to be in my heavenly home. Just a little while longer, I'm just going to keep on, keep on, keeping on. The Apostle Paul, I believe he said it best, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Above all, keep the faith. Above all, keep the faith. Don't be weary in well-doing. Above all, keep the faith. Amen. Did I have another scripture for the Amplified there, brother? Put that up there. Surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me. I want to stop right here. I know I talk about my wife a lot. We're going down the road the other day. She's driving. And she always tells me, why you got to be so goofy? goofy all the time. Sometimes I'm really serious, you know. I looked over at her just as serious as I can be, and I said, "Why do you love me?" She looked, she said, "Oh, quit. You know how y'all women do when we trying to be mushy and stuff, you know? Oh, quit, you know. I'm trying to be the romantic, you know, Mr. Romantic guy, you know. So why do you love me?" She said, "Because God made me love you." Whew. Man, I'm trying not to cry now, you know. And I thought, you know what? If there was ever unfailing love, that, and I don't want to put her on a pedestal because I want you to know she's a human. That woman knows me. She lives with me every day, and she still loves me. That is an unfailing love. That is a love that only God could give her. Because you know what? I'm not the easiest person to live with at times. I know, right? Mind blown. I'm difficult. Sometimes I can, most times I can be very hard-headed and I can be strong-willed. But she still loves me enough to see through that. Right here, I think about that. An unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. When I have a bad day and I want to bite everybody's head off, don't look at me and think, "Well, I've never had one of those days." Get off your self-righteous horse and let's get it right now, because every one of us has. And I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to see nobody. I'm in a bad mood. God's saying, "I love you. I love you." You know how he says it to me? When I'm driving down the road and I see a sunset, God's saying, "I love you." And I'm saying, "God, I don't want to be loved right now." You ever done that to God? "I don't want to be loved." God's saying, "But look at the colors. I'm just trying to let you know that I love you." That is an unfailing love, Sister Valerie. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place. Every morning I pray, God, this is what I pray specifically. God, I want your Spirit to go before me and to come behind me. And I want to dwell in your presence. Because if you're not going to be there, I don't want to be there. I don't want to exist outside of the realm of where your presence is at. I want to be in your presence. God, I want you to be with me. Because you don't understand, I've got to face some things this day, God, that I don't know how I'm going to face them without you. I don't know. You see, what you don't understand about me is the only thing I know to do is follow God. That's all I know to do is follow God. God helps me way more than you can ever imagine. God speaks to me in ways that I can understand because I'm a simple person. I only understand it as you lay it out to me. God doesn't come to me and say, "Brother Chris, I'm going to give you these big long words that you don't understand. I'm going to have to Google and understand what they mean." He's going to come to me and he's going to say, "Hey, I love you. I just want to let you know that I love you. Let us go back from being tired and weary. Let us rest in the presence of the Lord. Let us get real with God and say, God, I just want to rest in your presence. I just want to, wherever you are, that's where I want to be. Where you lead me, I will follow. I don't want to be with outside of where you're trying to take me, God. But if my will gets in the way, reel me back in. Reel me back in." Somebody said, "Wasn't that interesting that one person won that, what was it, $1.25 billion lottery?" So I was talking to one of the guys I work with, and I said, "Hey, let me tell you something." I said, "What do you think about that $1.25 billion? He said, "It's pretty interesting." I said, "How much you think a take-home would be?" He said, "Actually, I've done it," and he did all the numbers. He said, "The take-home was only $488 million. I said, "Only?" You know, just pocket change, right? I said, "But wouldn't you kind of feel bad if, you know, you're telling everybody, 'I'm a billionaire, billionaire. Now you're just a millionaire. Peasant." I know, right? I thought about that for a minute, and I thought, but you know what? God, in His infinite mercy, has given me something that is more precious than a $1.25 billion price tag. It's not just a home in glory. It's not that I'm going to make heaven my home. It's that he paid a price that I don't have to go to hell. Come on, somebody. That I don't have to go, that I could still go free. We talked in the Sunday school class this morning. What's going to make heaven heaven is not going to be the foundations, the 12 foundations and how beautiful they're going to be of the city. It's not going to be the streets of purest gold. It's not going to be the heavenly bodies that we're going to have. It's going to be able to see Jesus face to face. When I see Jesus, Brother Eddie, face to face, my Bible says I'm going to know him as he is. As he is, my little bitty mind can't wrap itself around that because it's too much for me to take in. And I read how the Apostle Paul, he said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, such as the Lord has planned for them." I'm a them. You're a them. So when you get weary, when you get tired, pick your feet up and just go. A lot of times, Brother Jim, it's that first step. It's that first step. Just keep going. Keep going. I told you before, and I'm in closing here. I told you before, I love the Indiana Jones movies. I can never remember which one I'm watching until I'm halfway into it. But I remember one, he's looking out, and he's at the edge of this cliff. He's looking out, and there's nothing. There's nothing below him. And his dad calls behind him, "Junior, just take a step." And he says, and he puts his foot out there, and the road rises up to meet him. And I thought, man, if that's not a physical explanation of faith right there, I don't know what is. Sometimes we look down, we're like, "God, do you understand there ain't nothing down there? Do you know, have you seen these people walk across these clear bridges? You know, and they're like, woo." First of all, I ain't looking down. I don't want to see, you know. If I'm going with God. Amen. Putting myself in that. But you know, too often times when we're weary and we're tired, all of our senses aren't about us. So we're tired. And we're just saying, "God, I just can't make it anymore. I just can't do it." And we feel a bump from behind. What is that? That's goodness and mercy. Keep pushing me. But God, I just want to stop. I don't want to go any further. This is more than what I really bargained for. Goodness and mercy. Push. I can hear the voice of the Lord saying, "Just a little further. Just a little further. You got this. You got this. You can do it. You can do it." You see, all of the things that we have for our sword and shield of faith, all of our armor is for the front side. We don't have any armor on the back side. You know why? Because the Bible says that God is our rear reward. In other words, he is watching over behind us. He's pushing us, pushing us, pushing us to greaterness. We say, "God, I just can't do it." God says, "Good. Now I can use you. Now I can use you." Look at everything that God did in the life of Jacob, who became Israel. God moved in a mighty way for him. And through him, descendants came. Through him, Jesus came eventually. Through the many generations, Jesus came. All because one man didn't miss it. He didn't miss it. He could have woke up, Brother Keith, and said, "You know, it was just a dream. I'm going to keep on going." But he stopped. And he said, "Surely the Lord was in this place. I knew it not." I'm telling you right now, in your trials, in your struggles, and everything you're going through, God is in the middle of it. God is in the middle of it. He's not forgot you. He's not forgot you. He knows me by name, and sometimes when God really needs to motivate me, he reminds me of the scripture in the book of Isaiah, where he said, "I called you when you were in the womb, and I knew who you were." Me, not somebody in lights, me. He knew who I was. And he loved me enough to die for me. That's an unfailing love. So if you're here tonight and you say, "Brother Chris, I just need a little bit of energy, a little bit of boost," come to the altar. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. And God will give you strength. Keep on going. Brother Eddie sings a song, and I love it. One more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. One more battle that I got to go through. I'm leaving it all behind. Just one more. Just one more. Just one more. If you'll stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. If the music would come, play something softly. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your presence. Lord, and we thank you that you're a very present help in a time of trouble. God, we've all sailed across troubled waters, but we all know that you never left us, you never forsook us, and you were right there in the boat with us, Father God. Lord, I ask you to move in a mighty way, Father. If those that are here tonight, Father God, they just need to hear from you. God, I ask you to speak to them. Whatever it takes, speak to them, Father. Have your will and your way, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Surely goodness and mercy gonna follow you all the days of your life. How blessed that is. Is there one tonight needs to lay that heavy burden down, needs strength? No better place to find it than the altar. Brother Chris has given us a good, wonderful message. Amen. A message of hope. Even though we do get tired and weary, we know that we can count on God. Let's just put our faith and trust in Him and know that God is able.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand and start to fall, all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. And the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For the man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus. Searching in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing. Jesus on the mountains and the valleys. There was Jesus in the shadows of the alleys. There was Jesus and the fire in the flood. There was Jesus, always is and always was. A blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus.
Fix things. But you know, there's things that we just can't fix, but we can give it to the Lord and understand and know that He can fix it. And I love the analogy that Brother Chris used. Just takes faith to step off of that cliff. But as soon as that first step, there was a foundation, there was a road for him to stand on. Oh, if we could be that faithful to God, then God would give us exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. May God bless you. Thank you, Brother Chris, for a wonderful message. We appreciate that. Appreciate you, church. We love you so very much. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and with this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you, and we thank you, God, for the promises. God, we do grow weary. We grow tired. But Lord, we know, God, that we can put our faith and trust in you, and you will be there for us to lift us up and continue to make a way for us. Pray your blessings upon us tonight. God, as we leave, I pray that you protect us, keep us safe from all harm and danger. Pray that you'd reach out to those who stand in need of prayer tonight. God, touch and anoint those who are sick, those who are afflicted. Father, I pray, too, that you would just reach out to those who are lost and undone. Bring them to an altar of confession, an altar of repentance, before it's everlasting too late. And we'll give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful evening.